Well, it is good to be able to present one of the most amazing key features of the Christian faith, the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now, if Friday was called Good Friday, I like to call this Sunday even better Sunday, because this Sunday just makes Friday look bad. Christians all over the world, as Chad has said, recognize and acknowledge the risen Savior. This is a key event in our calendar. On Friday, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the most expensive debt of mankind, and on Sunday, it was given God's thumbs up, the tick of approval that Jesus actually rose from the dead. What an amazing thing. Since creation, since Adam and Eve, God has been working on his great rescue mission on how mankind can be friends again with God. The thing is, he's been communicating with us all this time and all through history. People just haven't been getting it. It's just been slipping through to the keeper. And it's realizing people just naturally, we want to do things, don't we? We want to do things and say, look how good a job I've done. But God's saying, I don't want you to do that. I want you to see how good a job I've done in securing your future. At King's Park over this last year, the teaching program this year has been becoming a people of God. Sometimes the process of becoming is a painful process, and we sort of struggle and plow our way through. We take two steps forward, make a mistake, and then take three steps back, it seems like, at times. The process, it can sometimes be a real struggle. How many people here play Wordle? Have you heard of Wordle? Yeah? Have you done it this morning? No? Oh, I've done it this morning. Do you want me to tell you what it is? No, you don't, do you? I can give you the clue that it's not alive. It's not arise. And I had another word that was really good. It's not empty either. But which sort of leads me to believe maybe the Wordle creators aren't Christian-based or something. But I can say one of those words really gives you some good clues. I did it in three. Okay, I've just ruined it for you. Oh, dear. Sometimes the process of working through a struggle like Wordle, which is, for those of you who don't know, you've got to guess the word and you're just left with a blank screen and you've got to put a word in, and then they tell you if the letters are right or wrong, and you've got to work out what the end word is. It's sort of like Ross with his cryptic puzzles, cryptic crosswords. I don't understand them at all, and he can stick with it. I'll stick with Wordle. It's always good to do it first thing in the morning, and then you can annoy everyone else that you come across. It seems that God wants us to grow and progress and develop through the journey so that we can appreciate him all the more with the end results. And so we take up our story in Luke 24, and thank you for that reading, Parissa, of the two men who are on the rocky road to Emmaus. And these guys are definitely not enjoying their journey. If you remember to last Friday's message that Chad brought to us, Jerusalem was a hotbed of just tension and turmoil.
There were riots, and Jesus had been crucified, and they all went to their homes to celebrate Passover. But Jesus' followers were left all by themselves. They'd scattered because of fear and the mounting pressure that had been against them. And these two men were traveling to Emmaus, about 11 kilometers away. Now, these guys aren't of the 12 disciples, but they are heavenly involved. And Cleopas, which is mentioned in Luke, maybe he was one of the 70 who Jesus sent out on a mission trip to spread the word, on a mission trip to tell others about the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you guys to get into the headspace of these two men. They're on a downer. They're on a negative tailspin. They're totally out of control. And I wonder if part of their mindset about going to Emmaus was, you know when you're watching a thriller movie and things are getting really tense and you just need a tension break. And so you press pause and you get up and make a cup of tea. And say, all right. I'm in a better place now. I can see the rest of this really tense thriller that I'm watching. I reckon these guys wanted to get out of town and just get some downtime, get away from the heat of what was happening in Jerusalem at that time. But what was happening with their community? We talked about us becoming a people of God. Well, at that time, the people of God were scattered all over the place. Their community, their family unit, their group had been smashed and scattered all over. Their hope, as Parissa said, they hoped that Jesus would redeem Israel. Well, that had just been destroyed. There's no chance of that happening. These guys would have made a significant investment of their lives. They would have been following Jesus around, listening to him. They would have poured their energy, their reserved income, their time, their enthusiasm. All of their investments had become bankrupt. All that they believed, their faith, was dashed with doubt. And as they talked over the events of the previous week, a third unknown person comes along. A third wheel. Have you ever been in a deep discussion with someone and you're really chewing the fat and having a really good, deep and meaningful, and a third person comes along? Who is this guy? This third person comes along. Who knows where the conversation's going now? We don't know if this guy might be a government sympathizer or a family member of the high priest. We don't know where his sympathies lie or if we can still share at this same deep level. I don't know how you feel when that happens, but sometimes it's very frustrating. But Jesus waltzes right in there and he throws the open question, what are you talking about? And, you know, I imagine in Middle Eastern times, people would walk at quite a fast pace to get from A to B, especially when you're on a schedule. And 11Ks isn't a walk in the park, it's a bit further. And so, but this question stopped these two guys in their tracks. The Bible mentioned they stopped where they were and looked at each other with a dumbfounded face. Where has this guy been? Where's he been? Doesn't he know what's been happening around about us? They were gobsmacked. Jesus of Nazareth has been put to death on the cross. He was a powerful prophet. He was a powerful speaker and he did amazing things. He did amazing deeds. And we'd hoped that he would redeem Israel. Notice they didn't use a common title that they'd talk, a rabbi or Messiah. They didn't say that he was the Messiah or the Anointed One or the Christ. They said he was just a prophet. We'd hoped so much for this guy, but it wasn't going to happen now. It's been over 3 days and nothing's happened. It's terrible. And then just this morning, women being women, get up early and they go to the tomb first before any of the guys thought about it. And they got there and they said there was an angel there. And they said the body wasn't there anymore. He had risen. Now, you know, we didn't believe that. And some of the guys went and followed up and said the body was missing. Now, things are just getting a bit weird. And so to get out of Jerusalem, I think that would have been a pretty safe bet. Things were just going all over the place. But then Jesus hits them with this response. And this, I reckon, this would have stopped them in their tracks as well. He said, "How foolish, how slow you are not to believe all the things that the prophets had said about God's plan, that Christ had to suffer and enter into glory." This third wheel who had interrupted their conversation had come in and he started explaining to them the deep and meaningful... I forgot to turn the slide over, sorry. The deep and meaningful impact of what the scripture had to say about the risen Lord Jesus. And I'm sure Cleopas and his friend would have looked at each other and said, "We're slow. We're foolish. Who is this guy to tell us these things?" And then Jesus explained God's master plan. And he told them the Old Testament scriptures. Remember the Old Testament references. Chad mentioned Psalm 22, referring to Jesus being sacrificed on the cross. But in Psalm 16, it says, "You will not abandon me to the grave or let me see decay." And Jesus is telling these guys, don't you remember these references? They're about the Messiah, the resurrection. "I will raise up from them a prophet, and I will put my words in his mouth. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Even in Job, my Redeemer lives." They're all about the resurrection. The sign of Jonah, that Jesus would be put into a grave for 3 days and then rose again. And the pair were soaking all this information in. Ah, this is just what they needed. Maybe, just maybe, God is still at work and still working, and maybe he has got a plan that he's working things through. This is just what their fraught emotions needed. The salve, the soothing salve, just to hear that God is still in control in this crazy world in which these guys lived. In which we live too. Finally, they arrived at Emmaus and they urged this wonderful, knowledgeable stranger to stay for dinner, and they wanted more input. And Jesus was given the honored job of giving the blessing for the meal. And as he broke that bread, their eyes were open. They recognized that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And just then, he disappeared. At the start of this trip, they were emotionally empty. They were dragging their feet. I don't know if you've seen kids walking to school on the side of the road. You know, they're dragging their bag on the ground, and, you know, wild horses would have to sort of drag them to get to school any quicker. But then when they're going out to play with their mates, they're so energized. And I think that's what happened with these guys. Now, these two men were so energized, a new lease of life. Hey, let's get back to Jerusalem. It's only 11 kilometers. That won't take us too long. And they rushed off that very evening. It's true, the Lord has risen. We've seen him with our own eyes. And just as Parissa loved that section, their hearts burned within them while they were listening to Jesus speak. I just wonder what their conversation was like as they were speed walking back to Jerusalem, and how they recounted those words that Jesus had said. And they found the disciples gathered together in the upper room and reported everything that they'd had on that rocky road to Emmaus, everything that Jesus had said and revealed about himself from Scripture. They transferred that information to them. And then, if you read on from verse 35, you read on to verse 50, you hear that Jesus comes into that upper room where the disciples and the other followers were, and he revealed himself to them. And they were all gobsmacked again, and they said, this must be a ghost. And Jesus had to calm them down and just say, touch me, hold me, I'm flesh and bone. Get me something to eat. Give me some fish to eat, because I am flesh and bone. I am resurrected. This is what I've told you about all from the book of Moses, from the prophets, and from the Psalms. I've told you all these things, that this is what would have to happen. And then the Lord Jesus gave them the brightest light bulb moment that they could have hoped for. He opened their mind so that they could understand Scripture. You know, sometimes when I get the Bible and open it up in the morning, I thought, what is that saying to me? And I've got to say, I've got to ask God to help me open my eyes to see what is it that God actually wants to talk to me about that day. So Jesus opened their minds to the Scriptures, and he said, this is what had to happen. The Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. You guys are witnesses of this fact now. You're witnesses of my bodily resurrection, and you are the ones who are going to talk to other people that I am alive. Jesus' death and resurrection generates a response in people's lives, a response of repentance. Now, repentance is just a fancy word for changing your direction, doing a U-turn. So when we're talking about a living faith in Jesus Christ, we're living life under our own steam, doing our own thing, our own way. And then we see Jesus and say, here's another way. I'm going to change direction and start following him. And that's man's response to the living Lord Jesus Christ. And then the resulting benefit of that is enjoying God's forgiveness and peace. Here's some resurrection truths that we can remember when we get discouraged. The resurrected truth that Jesus was to rise again was prophesied all throughout the Old Testament. That God, that Jesus has power over death. That this resurrection endorses that Jesus is God's Son and that his sacrifice was accepted on the cross. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it said it wasn't just to a few people. He appeared to Peter first and then the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 people, brothers and sisters, at the same time. Now, you might be able to make one or two people lie to deceive other people. But you wouldn't be able to get a room full like this and get them all to tell the same story without someone tripping up. Jesus had a physical body. He could eat, he can touch, and he shared food with them. And for the resurrection truths, for Christ's followers, it means that we have certain hope that there is new life after death. And Resh mentioned 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 before he started praying. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the baptism. I'm so glad you came up and shared with us, Justin. The previous Saturday, in that corner over there, Justin showed the event that happened in his heart when he accepted Jesus into his heart. The fact that his old way of living, self-controlled way of living, was changed. He repented and changed course and said, I want to follow Jesus now. And he did that in such a public declaration, a reenactment of what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross. He was buried and resurrected to new life. And that's the symbol of baptism. For we have been united with him in death like his. We will certainly be also united with him in the resurrection life. What a great hope that we have. Now, just so we don't have the idea that this resurrection is all heavily weighted on there being a resurrection, Paul wrote a little chapter in Corinthians, and in it he put the other point of view. What if the resurrection just didn't happen? Well, he pointed out some things then. Well, the Christian faith is useless. We're wasting our time. We're still under condemnation. We don't have a relationship with God anymore. Anyone who's died believing in Christ to save them, well, they've perished. And if we have hope in Christ only for this life, we are the most miserable, sad group of people that you could ever imagine. Isn't it good that we can celebrate the resurrection and put a smile on our dial? The fact of the matter is, Paul goes on to say that Christ has been raised from the dead. He has become the first of a great harvest of those who will be raised to life again. The fact of the resurrection changes everything for Christians. How we live, how we think, how we plan for things, how we work. It changes every aspect of our lives. Now, some of you can relate to this story of the two men who traveled to Emmaus. Their journey, they were having a struggled time until this third wheel, this Jesus, came along and he interacted with them. Something about this guy attracted Cleopas and his friend to him. Something in the words he said, the way he held himself, or something about him just said, tell me more, tell me more. And I've heard of people, there was a school mum who knew one of the ladies here at church. And she said to me, this lady just has something, this quiet confidence, this peace. And I want to know more. I want to find out more. What is it this person has? Because I want a piece of it. It's something worthwhile, something worth following. Now, I know some of you, that's been your story in coming along to church. There's been something that's intrigued you about finding out more about God. Something has captured your attention. Maybe it was a Bible verse or a pamphlet that was put in your mailbox. Maybe it was a person who genuinely follows the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just feel the need to grab that person, sit them down and say, tell me all about it. I want to pick your brain. I want to see what makes you tick. I want to hear what this God thing is all about. They've just got something. Maybe you've experienced that burning desire to get that peace that God has on offer. Maybe you didn't realize it at the time, but maybe as you look back, you might say, yep, I can see God walking with me on my life's journey. Even when it was such a rough road, Jesus was walking with me and just drawing me to himself, showing his plan just ever so slowly, just what I needed at just the right time, showing his plan, his purpose, opening my eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the Master Rescuer. Maybe you're looking back and seeing that. Maybe you're going through that now and you're saying, yep, yeah, I'm coming to church. I want to find out more about what this God is and what he should mean to me. Maybe now is the time to make a repentant change, a change of course, and say, yep, yeah, I want to seek God and I want to seek God's way. I want to find out more about what he means for me. I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to experience this peace, have my eyes open to the truth of his word, and really appreciate this Resurrection Sunday. If you've got any questions after the service, please come and see Chad, or you can come and talk to me. Maybe if you're watching online, you can drop us an email or phone the office, or you could ask a welcomer at the front door, who can I talk to more about this? But I encourage you to get in there and continue searching and finding out God's plan for your life. Now, we're going to have a song, Behold the Lamb, and we're going to have communion service after that. If you're watching online, I'd encourage you, get a biscuit or a piece of bread and some juice, and just remember the risen Lord Jesus Christ, because he is risen indeed. Let's pray before we start the song. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your master plan of salvation, how you've orchestrated everything since the beginning of time, that we can have a relationship with you. What a privilege that we can come together and celebrate the victory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And we thank you and praise you this morning in Jesus' name.